The reading is from Psalm 46. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
It does all feel very close, doesn't it? What's going on in Eastern Europe? We were talking to friends of ours in America yesterday, and it feels very far away from them. But for us, it's very close. If we were part of the Zoom call on Thursday night, as we heard from our mission partners in Ukraine, in Poland, in Moldova, it felt very close. As we heard the air raid siren go off in the background while Matthew was speaking to us, as we heard and saw videos of Luke taking supplies across the border from Poland into Ukraine, as we heard he was in Ukraine last night and hoping to get another family out this morning, as we know there's family within our congregation who have family in Ukraine, it is very close. And as we hear the headlines of the threat of this war escalating, the word nuclear being used, it is very close. That's why we've taken a step out of Mark today, just to look at this psalm together, to see, where is there hope and help here? What do we hold on to in these days? And I think Psalm 46 does give us solid ground in a shaking world. This psalm is a song, it's a poem, it's full of imagery. It's meant to move us. We're supposed to see things and feel things as we read this psalm. It's to help us, if you like, emotionally respond to what's going on. And the danger is, as I preach through it this morning, as I draw out four truths from this psalm, the danger is that I just flatten it, that we go away with sort of four truths, and we lose the emotion, the feel, the design, if you like, of a psalm, a poem, a song that we should sing. So my prayer has really been that as I draw out these four truths, that as we then read the psalm, and if there's time, we're going to do that together at the end, having seen these four things perhaps a bit more clearly within the psalm, that the psalm will come to life a little bit more. We will feel it more. It will mean more. We'll be able to hold on more. So four truths that we see in this psalm, I think. The first is this: trouble is real. This is perhaps the most obvious of the four things in this psalm. But look at how the psalm begins, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And we use the word trouble in lots of ways, don't we? Often in quite minor ways. But the psalm goes from 0 to 60 in Well, not even seconds. What kind of trouble is in view in this psalm? Well, look at verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The kind of trouble in view is the kind of trouble we might describe as our world falling apart. That's the picture language, isn't it? Mountains, things that are solid, that are always there. Perhaps you've got a favourite mountain. Perhaps there's a favourite part of the world or the country that you like to go to. And those mountains, yeah, the scenery might change. The clouds might be in different positions, but the mountains are solid. They look the same. And yet the mountains are falling into the heart of the sea. The sea is that picture of chaos, and the waters are churning. That's picture language. But we know something of what that feels like, don't we, most of us? Things we've faced where our world has fallen apart. And we've seen it on our screens over this past week of others whose world has fallen apart as their homes have been shelled, as families have been separated, as people are mourning loved ones. People's worlds have fallen apart. And it's unnerving, isn't it? It's unsettling. It is trouble. Trouble is real. It's something we feel. It causes us to stay awake at night. It can grasp our mind and our heart. And for some of us this week, with our connection with those in that part of the world, we have felt that for them. Or even as, if you like, the tentacles have come our way, we've felt that for us. And yet for others of us, we've not thought too much about that this week because other things in our world have fallen apart. That diagnosis that we heard this week, the loved one who recently died, or quite a while ago died, but grief still grips my everyday. The parents who are separating, the redundancy enforced, the exams failed. Trouble enters our world in lots of different ways, doesn't it? It is real, and we feel it. Well, secondly, and this might seem a depressing start, trouble is real. Secondly, trouble is normal. Trouble is normal. Where the first truth, trouble is real, is unsurprising, the second one we quickly forget, don't we? We don't think trouble is normal. That's why it often shocks us, catches us off guard, throws us. Think of COVID 2 years ago and what happened with COVID, the idea of a pandemic. We were shocked, weren't we? We've never known anything like this. What's going on in our world? And then the comments this week from our news readers again and again, who can't believe what's happening in Europe in 2022. Shock. Psalm 46 isn't shocked. God isn't shocked. If we know our Bibles, if we hold on to what's written in our Bibles, we wouldn't be shocked. Look at verse 2 again. Speaking of trouble, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way. Not if. Not even when. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Trouble is normal. This happens. Worlds fall apart. On big scale, macro scale, or on micro, me scale. This is part of life lived in a fallen world. It's a world where the human heart, the sin in the human heart, causes havoc. Just think of how many of our playgrounds or classrooms or online forums or workplaces or families are torn apart by disagreement, by hate, by argument, caused by pride or envy or selfishness. That's in our hearts, all of us, that's in our hearts, and we see it and feel it, don't we, on small-scale levels all around us, all the time. So, give someone, as it says in the psalm here, a bow or a spear. Perhaps in London that might be a knife or a gun. Perhaps in Eastern Europe that might be a cruise missile or a nuclear bomb. And wars will happen and break out very easily, won't they? Because of what's going on in our hearts, what we're like. You know, the sin in our hearts means that whether we're in 1066 or 1939 or 2022, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. Who is Caesar today? Well, no one, because that empire fell. Who is king of Babylonia today? Well, no one, because that empire passed away. All through history, these uprisings and falls of nations, of conflicts, it's ever been the way in our world. And so today, battles rage not just in Ukraine, but in Myanmar and Afghanistan and Yemen and Tigray and Syria and Somalia. We might not see it in our headlines very often, but war is sadly normal. And it's not just the sin in human hearts which makes trouble a normal part of life. It's also the fact that this world is under God's judgment. This world is a fallen world under God's judgment, which means there's disease, like COVID-19. It means there's death, even if you're a brilliant cricketer. Look at verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. That's a tough verse, isn't it? When we see bad things happening in the world, we often ask for God to intervene, as if it's happening without his say-so. But the Bible tells us God is always sovereign. We've just sung that. He's always in control. But the Bible also tells us he's not evil. And so as we grapple with this truth of God's sovereignty, we have to hold on to all that's revealed about his character. He is good. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. We have to hold on to those things. That's what he reveals to us. And he is sovereign. God permits and can use trouble for his good purposes. That is hard to understand, isn't it? But that's what the Bible tells us. In this world, trouble is real. Trouble is normal. So thirdly, and with perhaps more hope, God is with us. You know, reading the psalm, there's a sudden change of scene, a bit like watching a film. There's a scene that's taking place here with these people, and suddenly the scene switches and it's another group of people over here, and something very different is going on. Look with me at verses 2 and 3 again. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's chaos and throbbing of the waters. It's out of control. Look at verse 4. Waters mentioned again, but it's a very different picture. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. This is not chaotic, destructive water. No, this is life-giving, calming, peaceful water. Where is this water? What is it doing? Well, it says, verse 4, these streams make glad the city of God. In the Old Testament, that was Jerusalem, often under siege as a city. But as we work our way through the Bible, we see that the city of God comes not to represent a physical city, but a people. The people who are trusting in Jesus, the people who through Jesus have become God's people. You. This is you in the midst of the chaos. There's a source of peace and life and hope. And look at the difference that this life-giving river brings. Verse 5, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. We need not worry about tomorrow. We so often do, don't we? But the reassurance here, God's help at break of day, he is within his people. He will hold them fast, as we love to sing. Now, if we're trusting in Jesus, we are eternally secure. It doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us in this life. But it does mean that we'll never be separated from God. Separated from his love for us in Christ Jesus. He will never forsake us or turn from us. No, look at verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The names or titles given to God are always significant in the Bible, and here in this psalm, that the same is true. Here are two titles for God. And this line is repeated, by the way. This is an important line in the whole psalm. It's here in verse 7. It's at the end, verse 11. This is the title, if you like. The Lord Almighty. That's a way of saying that the Lord of heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts, he has all power. There is nothing and no one stronger than him, nothing that can stand in his way. He is the Lord Almighty, and he is with us. And he's the God of Jacob. Where the Lord Almighty speaks of God's strength, the God of Jacob speaks of God's grace. Jacob was chosen by God. It shouldn't have been Jacob, it should have been Esau. Jacob wasn't chosen because he was good. He was chosen because it's God's right to choose. God was gracious towards him. The God of grace is our fortress, says the psalm. If we're trusting in Jesus, nothing we've done in the past, nothing we do now can shake us from that fortress, because he's a God of grace. When we repent and come to him, he won't turn us away. We will be safe with him forever. know, often when bad stuff happens, we can think naturally, oh, that's happened because God has seen what I did or remembered what I did, and now it's payback time. If only I hadn't done that. But the Bible says, no, that's not true. Through Jesus, we know that God is a God of grace. He's the God of Jacob. Through Jesus, he won't turn you away. He's not doing this to punish you. He will hold on to you. He will bring you through. So when trouble comes, you need not fear. That is the opposite of what we normally think or do, isn't it? When trouble comes, we normally fear. When trouble comes, we are awake at night. When trouble comes, we are wanting to sort things out and get things fixed. But no, Psalm 46 says, get your eyes on God. Look to him. Lean upon him. Trust in him. Hold on to his promises, his character, who he is and what he's like and what he's done. He is with us. Do not fear. Do not fear. God is our refuge and strength, says verse 1. Refuge is external. There's protection, there's safety. Strength is internal. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. He is Emmanuel, God with us, possible through the Lord Jesus, that a holy God can dwell within us by his Spirit. Jesus who died for us, who opened up the way that we might be with God. He is an ever-present help in trouble. He is with Matthew in Ukraine. He is with Vika, Matthew's wife, who's had to leave Matthew behind and is now in Poland or Germany. He is with Edward and Victoria in Moldova. He is with Luke getting, we trust, back into Poland from Ukraine this morning, and Anya. He is with you at the Marsden, in your home, in your workplace, on the way to school, in the darkness of night. He is with you. So lean upon the Lord, trust in his promises, be filled with his Spirit. Pray that God would help you with this, and pray for our brothers and sisters that they would know this to be true, and together we would not fear. And lastly, fourthly, God is with us. God will end it. Look at verse 9. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He. But he has to do it forcibly. Now, the Bible doesn't paint a picture of humans getting better through the generations. We're not becoming more resourceful, more enlightened, which means that wars will be no more. No, humans are still humans. And it will take God to blow the final whistle. Look at what he does, verse 9. It will be him who breaks the bow and shatters the spear. Or disarms the nuclear warhead, takes apart the cruise missile. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. And the story of Jesus in the storm, more water churning, trouble. Fishermen, scared. What does Jesus do? He stands up. What does he say? Be still. It's the same as this. This is not a verse for the quiet chapel with cool water running in the background. Sort of meditative moment. Be still and know that I am God. No, this is the Lord calling time on wars. Be still, and it will end. The Bible says that will happen with a trumpet blast, that the Lord Jesus will return, and wars will be no more. No more death or mourning or crying or pain when the Lord returns. And notice what will happen. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth, where he's not exalted now. Where his guidelines to love God and love people are ignored. Where sin and Satan have a grip, where abuse of power is normal, in the home or in the workplace or at national level. One day, God will call time. Today is a day closer to that day. Jesus says there'll be wars and rumors of wars before he returns. Are you ready for his return? Are you longing for his return? Because there lies our ultimate hope. That's when wars will cease. That's when trouble will end. When Jesus returns and bring in a new earth, a new world order. And we will know true peace from the Prince of Peace, true joy from the Joy Giver. We will see him. We will be like him when he returns. But if you're not ready for his return, if you've not bowed the knee to him now, as we saw in that verse in Philippians at the beginning of our service, then that day will be awful for you. Make no mistake. Jesus says now, turn to me now, repent and believe now, before it's too late. He is our hope for world peace. He is our hope for an end to sin and Satan and death. He. And in the meantime, we can say, verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.